Well, hello and welcome to the Advisor Pact Monthly Session. I'm Mark Little. And each month we gather to discuss, well, really the purpose of this program, which is to make your Advisor Pact pledge to every single ideal client. So the premise of this program is that we have done over the past 2 decades, we've done research as to what it is that affluent, successful clients are truly seeking from their relationship with a financial advisor. Now, not every affluent client is seeking these things, but for those who are, there are millions of multimillionaires out there who are seeking this type of advisor who claim through our research that they cannot find an advisor to do these things anywhere at any price. They don't think an advisor like this exists typically. Or in some cases, our research shows that some clients believe that an advisor like this exists, but they just aren't willing to put forth the effort to find them. They think it'll be just too hard, or oftentimes not available in their geographic area. So what are they? Well, we call PACT as an acronym. So when we say your advisor PACT with each ideal client, PACT is an acronym. And PACT stands for what we call the 4 client expectations: protection, attention, coordination, transparency. These are the 4 things that clients, when you survey affluent, successful clients, these are the 4 things that we consistently find that they are frustrated, that they would like to have, but they can't seem to find. And protection means looking for an advisor who's conflict-free. It kind of, if you dig further into the research, the feeling is on the part of many clients that most financial advisors have an inherent bias or conflict that they tend, that among those conflicts with many advisors, it tends to be the perception, true or not, that an advisor is primarily out to sell a certain set of products or services. In other words, there's a set of financial products or a set of financial services that a financial advisor is promoting, and that's perceived in the client's mind as a conflict. In other words, when they say protection, what they mean, if you dig into the research, is they're seeking an advisor who's truly got their back, someone with no conflict of interest, who'll tell them the way it is, regardless of whether they're earning any commissions or fees tied to any products or services. So they're just looking for advice that's solid and conflict-free. Attention. Over and over, this comes in a variety of forms, but over and over we hear that there is suspicion and or just the belief that advisors don't truly pay attention to the custom situation of a client. So clients feel they have, and they do have, custom situations that are custom to their circumstances. And they don't believe, as a group, that the average advisor is paying close enough attention to know whether or not they're truly on track to their, whether they're on track or not. Now, on track means different things to different clients, but that's up to you to figure out with the client. So do all of your clients know that they're on track? And the pay attention part is, if you dig into our research, it's the belief that Even if a client is told by their advisor, yes, you're on track, there is suspicion that advisors don't pay close enough attention, so that if they ever drift off track, that they would know, that the advisor would proactively let them know and connect with them with the recommendations required to get right back on track. In other words, paying attention means the ability and the willingness of an advisor not only to tell a client that they're on track, but the ability and willingness of an advisor to make sure that the client remains on track at all times. And then coordination is, you know, clients complain. They have all these financial people in their life. They have an accountant. They have an estate planning lawyer. They have all these insurance agents and on and on and on. They have all these financial people. There's nobody stepping up in their financial life to coordinate all these financial people and all these financial pieces of advice or financial products and services that they've accumulated. So coordination is another piece of the puzzle. And then transparency. I can't tell you how many clients that we have surveyed over the years who, frankly, were unclear on how they were compensating their financial advisor. They know they're paying them something, but in some cases, clients say, I don't, as far as I know, I'm not paying them anything, and I know that's not right. So it's your willingness and your ability to make sure that it's fully transparent for a client, not only how much you're making off of financial products and services or flat fees or retainers or however you're compensated, but also the commitment to step up as the leader of the financials, the financial leader of a client's life, to make sure that they understand for each and every member of their financial team how much they're paying, let's say last year and over the next 12 months, how much are they estimated to pay. So this is your pledge. If you're, and that's what this program is all about. If you commit to making this pledge to each and every ideal client that you'll protect them, pay attention, coordinate, and with full transparency, then you'll be offering a set of services that that most clients think, frankly, doesn't exist in your community. And so we always like to say that if you fully commit to this pledge, it's very likely that in a relatively short period of time, certainly less than a year and a half, if you stick with this with every module in this program, that you will be the only game in town. It's very unlikely that clients will have a lot of choice for advisors in their community if this is what they're seeking, an advisor who is willing and able to provide all four of these, to make a pledge to provide all four of these client expectations. If you are new to this program, I want to point you in the direction of our new member webinar. Or if you've been an advisor in our program for some time and, I don't know, you feel like you need to re-energize, get back on track, make a little faster progress, get a little bit clearer about what it is that you're trying to accomplish in your business, we recommend the new member webinar. And this will accelerate your results, whether you're a new member or an existing member. If you haven't been through this webinar, or if you haven't gone through this webinar lately, we highly recommend this new member webinar for the Advisor Pact Monthly program. This is the registration page, and you'll be happy to know when you go to the registration page that this webinar is offered frequently each and every week. As a matter of fact, most often when you attempt to register for this webinar, if you'll block time on your calendar to go to this registration page when you've got a little over an hour to go through it, then it's about an hour and 5 minutes, I think. Then just go to the registration page, and I think you'll be surprised that that the webinar is available most days, and often within minutes of the time that you attempt to register for the program. So the way you register for this webinar is to go to www.advisorpactpledge.com. So just go to the registration page, advisorpactpledge.com, and we highly recommend that you go to this webinar. There's so many things that are covered in this webinar, mainly the big picture of the program, but I'm brutally honest about what works and what doesn't work for financial advisors in this program. It's funny, advisors have different ideas about what it takes to accomplish the end result of this program. And at the end of this new member webinar, I give you my five best pieces of advice for staying on track in this program. And so if you want this investment in this program to pay off exponentially, and by that I mean the primary objective of this program is to develop a skill that most advisors do not have, and that is the skill of being able to consistently exceed your ideal client's expectations. Most advisors don't attempt to do this and haven't thought about it, frankly. But this entire program is all about learning how to consistently exceed your client's expectations and for the purpose of client acquisition, so that your clients are your greatest source of unsolicited client referrals. Now, any kind of client referral is spectacular. If you're asking for referrals, if you're skilled at the referral conversation, then that's smart business and that's good for you. We don't cover that in this course. What this course is all about is teaching you how to consistently exceed client expectations and therefore drive and increase your unsolicited client referral rate. So this program is all about increasing client referrals, and this webinar will set you off on the right track to getting that objective. Okay, so I'm going to go through each and every month. I handpick questions that have come into us over the preceding month, and I handpick some questions that I feel like are the most relevant to the greatest number of you. Okay, so there are a number of you on this webinar right now. So I'm gonna just go through the questions that I've handpicked, the ones that I thought were the most useful, that could be the most useful to the most of you. And we'll go through these, but I encourage you, if you're implementing this program, let me tell you, you're going to have a lot of questions. We know and measure whether the level of your implementation based on the quantity and the quality of your questions, frankly. So most advisors send their questions through the system. So on every page of the Advisor Pack monthly program, there's a Contact Us link. And so we encourage you to, during the course of the month, as you encounter issues, and you will, or if you get stuck, or if you have questions, maybe you just simply need direction. Or in many cases, what we're teaching kind of bumps into the reality of your business or your firm or your compliance department. You know, most of the questions that we receive, frankly, are not challenges to any of the concepts. Quite the contrary, it's more the questions that we receive are typically, how do I accomplish what you're recommending, Mark, in our environment? And here's the situation. So maybe an advisor feels their situation is a little bit unique, or you know, you just have to kind of think through how to implement something in your environment. So I encourage you, if you've got questions right now, you've got me right now. So look on your webinar panel for the Q&A section. If you've got questions and you're actively implementing and you have a question that you have failed to ask over the last 30 days, this is your opportunity for live coaching. You've got me for the next few minutes. And in the meantime, I'm just going to go through the questions that that I've hand selected, and I'll just keep plowing through them until I see any questions from you. Okay, got this question in. I thought this was a really good question from an advisor in the program, who says, I have a performance coach who helps me hold myself accountable so that I remain on track for my goals. What accountability metrics should I be tracking, or questions my coach should be routinely asking as I'm working to build my team of subject matter experts? Okay, so this particular advisor is working on the module called the Deliverables Team Recruitment Process. In other words, attempting to fill the 5 subject matter expert slots: tax subject matter expert, money management, financial planning, legal or estate planning, and insurance subject matter expert. So these are the 5 subject matter experts. If you have not gotten to this module, this is a key module. I always say that our system seems complex and is actually overwhelming to many advisors. But I always say the same thing to that question as to, you know, isn't this system a bit overwhelming? And my response is, not after you've filled your 5 subject matter expert slots. In other words, if you follow our process and you fill every vacancy for every one of these 5 subject matter experts, and then you've got a team of experts who are truly skilled and gifted at knowing how to help you exceed your clients' expectations, our system becomes actually quite easy. So it becomes, when you get to that module, this is the toughest module, the most time-consuming module to complete. But the good news is there are talented and skilled subject matter experts literally all over the place. And furthermore, if you're open-minded about this, which we recommend that you do be open-minded, who's to say these subject matter experts even need to live in your community? So in this day and age, with the cloud and with all the services online, it's easy to imagine having some, or if not most, of your subject matter experts in another city. And then that opens up your ability to find talent tremendously. So if they're not in your area, they're somewhere. Let me tell you, this is the key to our system. Once you have 5 truly skilled subject matter experts helping you consistently exceed your clients' expectations, you'll implement this system at a high level to the point where you're truly driving and increasing unsolicited client referrals. Okay? So you have a coach, and I'm glad you mentioned accountability, because when I was acquiring clients and putting all this together, I had a coach. But not all coaches are created equal. As a matter of fact, as I was seeking a coaching for myself, I found that there are all kinds of coaches, not all of them great. All of them have some specialty, so I'm not denigrating other coaches. But what I am saying is I found the type of coaching to be the most helpful for financial advisors like you and me, specifically accountability coaching. So it's to seek out a coach who's skilled at being able to hold you accountable. And accountability is defined different ways, but my definition is it's someone who takes the time to really understand what I'm trying to accomplish, in other words, my goals and objectives, and then helps me break it down into bite-sized pieces and then holds me accountable to my own goals, so that if I'm on track to my goals, then great, I'm being held accountable to that. But if ever I drift off track, just like in your accountability role with your ideal clients, an accountability coach is somebody who cares enough about you to take you by the hand and lead you back to the path that you say that you want to be on. In other words, to bring you back to what it's going to take to accomplish the goals that you say you want to accomplish. And that's accountability. And it's not that you can't change your goals. You can. But until you change your goals, an accountability coach is someone who's truly talented at being able to bring you back and hold you accountable to your own goals. So if you're seeking this type of coaching and you're curious about who my accountability coach was, my accountability coach has a couple of openings right now. I checked before this session, and if you're interested in really world-class accountability coaching, my accountability coach, I believe, is the best around. But not everybody can handle accountability coaching. But if you're looking for that, then click contact us on the Advisor Pack Monthly site, and I'll be happy to share the contact. You can contact my accountability coach and see if it's a good fit or not. But what I wanted to do in answer to this question, and I've already answered it to the individual directly when they submitted this question, but I want to walk through it with you because I think these are introspective, really good self-accountability reporting questions. Okay, so these are, if your goal is to set an accountability report to yourself to periodically check whether you're making progress with this goal to fill your every subject matter expert role under the theory that until you fill all of those roles, you're not this. First of all, this system is going to seem overwhelming, and secondly, you're very unlikely to be able to drive and increase your client referrals consistently until you get your team in place. Okay, so here's what I recommend as the best accountability report. You just basically make these statements. I currently have X number of subject matter expert vacancies on my team. So every time you meet with your accountability coach, or if you don't have an accountability coach, let's just say once a month, you sit down and you run through this report for yourself. And it's to just be brutally honest. Of the five subject matter experts, I have X number of vacancies on my team. And to just admit it. And to just there's nothing bad or wrong about it. It's just a number. So, but it's to be honest. It's the candid clarity of where you stand. If the goal is to have five subject matter expert roles filled, then be honest with yourself and just say, here's how many vacancies I currently have. And then to report, at least on a monthly basis, I've filled the following subject matter expert vacancies since the last time we spoke. So this assumes what the question asked was, you know, I've got a performance coach who holds me accountable. So I've kind of assumed in this report that there is a coach involved. So you meet with your coach periodically, let's say twice a month, once a month, whatever the frequency. In this case, you're just going to run through all of these, this report, and on this point, you're going to explain, you're going to report on how many vacancies you've filled since the last time you've spoken with your coach or the last time you've run through this this self-assessment. Now, just a reminder, and for those who have not gotten to the module on filling vacancies, it's a 60-day process. So the way we teach and have validated that system, and we did this by me filling subject matter expert vacancies for my firm, and then, of course, I've been working with lots of financial advisors since 2002, but we've confirmed it takes, if you're focused on this process and you're implementing the way we teach it, you'll fill a subject matter expert vacancy in less than 60 days, okay? So every time you meet with your coach or you have this accountability report self-assessment, you just say, here's how many vacancies I've filled. And it should be at least one every 60 days. You need to tell your coach, the goal is if a 60-day period goes by, go back and let's assess the process because there's something wrong with the way you're implementing the process. And by the way, if that is a problem, if you're filling the vacancies but not quickly enough, let's say it takes longer than 60 days, then you should be contacting us. That's the whole point of this program, is if you're not getting the results as expected, you should be contacting us and allowing your coach to hold you accountable to that 60 days. The next accountability point is the current SME role I'm working to fill is blank. Now, in our process, we recommend that you don't juggle filling several roles at one time. You just focus on one at a time. So your accountability coach needs to hold you accountable to knowing at all times what role you're currently trying to fill. And by the way, even after you fill all five spots, You can take this as good news or bad news. To me, it's just business reality. It's just news. And the news is, you'll never stop this recruiting process. There'll always be somebody on your team of subject matter experts that's maybe slipping a little or not fulfilling the obligations or not as skilled as you'd hoped, or their performance is just not up to your standards, whatever. If you're anything like me, and I've worked with a lot of advisors and everybody ends up being like me, you'll be filling a subject matter expert role, at least one, pretty much forever for the rest of your career. So if you jump in the river and commit to this system, you know, for the next year and a half, you'll be filling these vacancies. But frankly, you'll be filling at least one vacancy more or less all the time. So you need to be focused on the one that you're trying to fill right now and be able to report on that. And then to tell your coach and to go through with your coach, I would recommend submitting them to your accountability coach in advance of each session. Here are my daily and weekly tracking sheets for review. Now, I've provided these. These are actually part of the module. And when we post this session for the replay, which will be sometime in the next day or so, come back to the replay page and you'll see that I've provided these again. These are part of the module that we give you to fill subject matter expert vacancies, what we call the deliverables team recruitment process. That's this DTRP, deliverables team recruitment process. So we provide these tracking sheets once you've got that module. But in the meantime, I'll just give them to you. So if you're working on it or if you need quick access to them, I'll make sure that they're available as a download on the replay page. But there are three tracking sheets, one for your administrative manager, two for your administrative manager and one for you. There's a daily tracking sheet for your administrative manager and a weekly tracking sheet for your administrative manager. So this is, for those of you not as familiar with our terminology, this is your assistant. And so let's go over those. Let's go over the daily sheet for your assistant. So this sheet is actually, it's a new sheet every day. So I'm giving you the PDF, but once you get the module, this is available in an Excel spreadsheet. So if you want to just keep these electronically so that you don't have to print them out, that's fine. That's what most advisors, I think, do is just keep electronic files, because this is a new sheet every day. And as you just to kind of go through this, it's, you know, you put the date of the day and the way we split the workload, the division of labor, so to speak, is we make it the administrative manager's job to go out and find candidates for you to interview, and then we make it your job to contact the candidate and all interviewing and then final selection of subject matter expert candidates. And so if you don't have an assistant, no big deal. You just have to do it all. So it's Bill Bachrach's famous quote, if you don't have an assistant, then you are one. So then you'll do all of this yourself. But if you do have an assistant, we recommend as you go through our system, making it the division of labor so that your administrative manager goes out and identifies and finds candidates for you to interview, but never talks to them, not even to schedule the meeting, but that you do all interactions with the candidates and interviewing and making the final decision. But this is a daily sheet for the whoever's doing the identifying of candidates. You write the name of the candidate on each row, and if the candidate was first identified today, then you check that here. And if what it was that you conducted, what you did with that candidate today was conduct research, then you check that here, because it's up to the administrative. Somebody's got to go do research and see if this potential candidate is even worth talking to. Go online, look at them on LinkedIn, look at their website and so forth, and see what they actually do before you waste time on them. So somebody's doing online research. And then here is if the result is an IDM is our vernacular for the initial discovery meeting. In our 12-step deliverables team recruitment process, there are three meetings with candidates, the first one being the initial discovery meeting. So on the daily tracking for the administrative manager, they would note the date if an initial discovery meeting is scheduled between the advisor and the candidate. They note that date here on the daily tracking sheet. And then candidate quality as of today on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being extraordinary candidate, 1 being unlikely candidates. This gives the person who's identifying candidates, a way to score them, because it's really the goal of whoever's identifying candidates, we recommend your assistant, to prioritize those and to give you a call list so that you can schedule meetings with these people, initial discovery meetings, to start vetting them. And but you don't want to you want to contact these candidates in order, so we give a column here for the candidate quality so that you can, you know, make sure that you're calling the top quality candidates first, and then there's room to take notes. Okay, so then here's the daily tracking sheet for the trusted advisor. So this is a daily sheet. So today, so these are the candidates that you actually attempt to call. So as you pick up the phone and try to call these candidates, since you're the only one as the advisor who's going to interact with these candidates, you write their name down as you contact them, and you either left them a message, or there was no answer, or you didn't leave them a message, or the result was an initial discovery meeting. Well, it was scheduled, or finally, this column is an initial discovery meeting was not scheduled. So these are the four things you either color in or check mark. These are the four possible results, and then you can write some notes here. So this is one sheet for every day. This is your daily activity. And then here's the weekly activity results. Now, before I go through the let you look at the detail, notice that there's only 8 weeks. So on the weekly tracking, this is should be completed in 8 weeks. The goal of our process, we validated that if you're really truly focused on this project, you'll be filling subject matter expert positions and vacancies every 60 days or less. So I won't go through these columns, but this is if you just showed one thing to your accountability coach, it would be this. With my accountability coach, I showed him not only this, but every daily sheet since the last time we spoke. So I'm just kind of going through this a little bit just to give you some ways, because the question was, how do I work with my coach to be held accountable? These tracking sheets really are helpful to a coach to help you stay on track and to see if you're actually doing the activities that are required to fill these vacancies. Okay. So back to the best accountability report. So here are my daily and weekly tracking sheets for review. We just went through them. And then to basically make the statement, I've conducted blank number of subject matter expert conversations since the last time we spoke. Now, SME expectations conversations, you could think of them as performance reviews. So it's one thing to fill a vacancy, but let me tell you, we've done this for a long time and we've worked with a lot of advisors. Just because you fill a vacancy doesn't mean that magically and mysteriously your clients will start to be consistently impressed without you having to sit down and share your expectations with your subject matter experts. No, if you truly want to drive and increase your ideal client referrals, especially unsolicited client referrals, then get used to it. You need to make sure you have no vacancies on your team of subject matter experts and you're conducting these SME expectations conversations at least once every 4 months. That's three times a year. So we've never seen an advisor, even with a full set of five subject matter experts, we've never seen an advisor exceed two client referrals per year on average per ideal client without having these SME expectations conversations on a regular basis. So we recommend that you conduct these at least once every 4 months. That's three times a year to basically share your expectations that you expect every subject matter expert to pull their weight and consistently exceed client expectations. I mean, that's the bottom line of your expectations, although we do provide an entire module on how to conduct these reviews. The point being, the accountability is on you. It's really on you to meet with your subject matter experts to review them and to set your expectations that you expect your subject matter experts to exceed your clients' expectations. Let me tell you, the more performance reviews that you conduct each year with each individual subject matter expert, the more likely you'll have an increased level of client referrals. And let me tell you also that financial advisors who are frustrated and contact me through the system and say, hey, you know, I've been doing this program for a year and we're not seeing our client referrals increase. As we troubleshoot with them and kind of dissect what they're actually doing, it's very frequent that this is the one thing that they've failed to do. They're not, you know, they've got their team filled, but they're not holding their team accountable. They're not sitting down, as we recommend, at least once every 4 months, to hold each team member accountable to exceeding client expectations. So if you want your client referrals to go up, you'll fill the vacancies and you'll review your subject matter experts several times a year. And then continuing your report to be accountable to all this, the subject matter experts performing at or above my expectations are these. In other words, as you're doing these expectations conversations, you're totally aware of your five subject matter experts, which ones are performing above your expectations, and you can list them and you can tell your coach who they are and why they're exceeding your expectations. In every case, it's going to be because they're exceeding your client's expectations, and you can provide specific evidence as to what they're doing. But the point is clarity. You know who they are. And then finally, the subject matter experts performing below my expectations are these, and you tell your coach or yourself, basically, here's what I've done to resolve this unacceptable situation. In other words, you've got a subject matter expert performing beneath your expectations, and you then detail your plan and the timeline for dealing with this. I mean, I've learned the hard way that if you're focused on your clients, and some advisors push back a little bit on this thinking, oh, no, I care too much about my team. Well, that's fine. Me too. I care about my team a lot, but I care about my clients more. So if I have a subject matter expert performing below expectations, then it's not, then I've determined as a leader, it's not fair to the rest of the team and it's not fair to my clients to allow that to continue. So you, in essence, put them on notice, set some time certain, and then, frankly, we recommend just start, since it takes 60 days to fill a position, just start interviewing and see if you can find candidates that are better than the one that you've got. If you can't, then you just keep interviewing. But if you can, then what an elegant situation to be in. You've got a subject matter expert who's maybe good but not great, definitely below your expectations as far as performance. And then you've got this other one that, because you've been interviewing around, you now found somebody you feel like is better. Maybe you give them a chance. Maybe you don't let the other one go until you've tried the new person. But you get the point. This is the best accountability report ever. It's these 7 points that you're regularly and consistently, I'm going to say at least monthly, you're checking in with your coach or you're checking in with yourself. Although, frankly, I think it's better to just pay someone to hold you accountable. It's much more effective and more likely to work. But in any event, this is the best accountability report, in my view. Okay, we got this question. This comes in fairly frequently, but I noticed we haven't had it in probably 6 months. So question is, could you run through the team goal again? An advisor asks, what is it and how do I introduce it to my subject matter experts? Okay. It's a good question. I think it's critical. As a matter of fact, the team goal is very important. Just a couple of points about this before I explain what it is. It's important for you to realize most financial advisors do not set goals for their team. Can you believe that? Most financial advisors who have a team, frankly, have never set a goal for them. And when I say goal, I mean something that everybody on the team knows what it is and they know when they've accomplished it or not. In other words, they're in control of the elements of it, and as a team, they could achieve it together. And then and then do high fives and say, hey, we accomplished the goal. That there's some finish line where you've crossed it, and your team looks at each other and has a big celebration saying, hey, we've accomplished the goal. Okay, most financial advisors don't do this, which is really odd. The first time we ran this research study, I frankly didn't believe it. So we ran it again, kind of changing up the question a little bit, and it came out the same. And it is true. Most financial advisors do not set goals for their team. And the reason I say it's odd is because most financial advisors in the same research study are very goal-oriented themselves. So it's always struck me as a little bit odd that financial advisors who are typically very goal-oriented don't set a goal for their team. It's a big mistake not to have a goal. And frankly, if I'm being very candid, we're just talking honestly between us here, it's poor leadership. You're not really providing guidance to your team as to what you expect or anything. So no goal, no accountability. I mean, it's very hard to hold your team accountable if there isn't a goal that you can hold them accountable to. So what we recommend is making the team goal central. It's the key to increasing client satisfaction. It's having a team goal is the key to increasing client referrals. So it is more than important. So we recommend that you make the team goal a really big deal. Not only that you have one, and you know that's the other thing that an advisor does that doesn't work, is set a goal and then just distribute it to the team and then never talk about it again. No, if you have a goal, the only thing that makes the goal real is that you make a big deal out of it. And a big deal is just very simple. It doesn't have to be difficult. It's just that you mention the team goal at every single interaction with a team member. You just mention it. And by bringing it up frequently, it makes the point to every team member that this team goal is a big deal. So what is the team goal? Well, shorthand, it's to consistently exceed your ideal client's expectations. It's to let every subject matter expert know they play a role in this. And be prepared. Some subject matter experts push back a little bit on this. They're like, hey, I just got hired to do taxes, or I just got hired to create financial plans, or I just got hired to, review estate plans or whatever. You know, it's funny how subject matter experts in their own mind have a different idea of what they've been hired to do than you do if you're really focused in on what we're trying to do in this program. You need to make sure that every team member knows that not only is it their job, but every team member has a hand in this, that every team member, even if they don't interact face-to-face with a client, if they're doing anything behind the scenes that affects a client, then they have a part in this. They have a part in this consistently exceeding ideal client's expectations, but particularly for subject matter experts at every interaction. And this is a very high standard. You need to make crystal clear to every subject matter expert that every time we have a client meeting, every time we have a phone call with a client, every time we send a client an email, every interaction, it's our job to exceed our ideal client's expectations. Now, this is a huge lift because this implies quite a bit. This implies that not only you, but each subject matter expert knows each individual client's expectations and is committed and able to exceeding it. Now, let me just tell you the dirty little secret here. Even if you fill your team with five subject matter experts who are highly experienced, let's say decades of experience, so you have what you believe is the black belt karate team of subject matter experts because everybody's so experienced, it is highly likely that you will have at least one, if not all, subject matter experts who are technically skilled at what they do, but they have no idea how to exceed a client's expectations. Let me repeat that. It's very common to find experienced, technically skilled subject matter experts, but people who know what they're doing technically, but frankly, they really have no idea how to impress a client. This is very common. So what you're looking for is team members, when you're filling these positions, you're looking for team members, subject matter experts, who do know how to exceed client expectations, who do know how to impress clients, and they're telling you, when you ask them point blank about it, they give you lots of great examples of how to exceed, to impress a how they impress their clients. But you don't really know until they start working with your clients whether they're truly capable of this or not. And I'm not saying if they're not able to do this right out of the chute that you let them go. I do recommend you put them on a short timeline, but what we're really looking for is subject matter experts, even if they're not 100% sure how to consistently exceed clients' expectations at every interaction, and that means at every client progress meeting. What, you know, so it's not what did you do last time to impress the client. We've got a client meeting coming up 4 months from now. What are you going to do at that meeting to impress the client? So it's this relentless, what are you doing at every interaction, making the effort to try to figure out how to impress this particular client at this particular meeting. Well, this is where some subject matter experts run out of steam. Some they run out of ideas. Now, we have an entire process for going through how to take someone who's technically skilled and has a good attitude. In other words, they're willing to learn this skill gap. So, you know, you give them a short time frame to fix the problem, and you work together in this program using the Contact Us link in this session each month. You know, let's say you've got an actual client situation and you're trying to figure out, you think you've thought of everything and you can't think of a single way to impress this particular client at this upcoming meeting. We will take you right through the process. Just all you need to do is ask for the coaching. We'll give it to you. So we have a process for helping you help subject matter experts in this specific situation that they're technically skilled, but frankly, they don't know how to impress a client. We will show you how to, as a leader, lift their skills up so that they learn how to do this. And that is the key. So let me tell you, this image is right off our flagship program. So we have a bigger program than the Advisor Pack monthly program. It's actually more than a coaching program. It's actually software that we provide. It's called the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. But I just borrowed this slide directly off the toolkit. And the reason I'm showing you this is because there is a little bit of flexibility on what your team goal actually is, but I wanted to show you the team goal the way we recommend it on the toolkit. So if you were in our flagship program, paying $1,000 a month for our team, our toolkit team coaching and the software, here's the team goal that we strongly encourage every member of the toolkit to set for their subject matter experts. And here it is. We will deliver the three bottom line client outcomes to every ideal client in a manner which exceeds their expectations. And the most direct measure of success of the team goal is an increasing annual referral rate, what we call TARR, the annual referral rate. Now, we will have achieved the team goal when we are consistently experiencing 5 initial client interviews per week attributable to spontaneous unsolicited client referrals. So you've got every element of a goal. And I'm going to unpack some of this because some of these terms you're not may not be familiar with, never heard before, three bottom line client outcomes, the annual referral rate. I'm going to unpack all this for you here in a second. But this has all the elements of goal. It basically states what the goal is. We're going to deliver the three client bottom line client outcomes in a way that exceeds our client expectations. The way we're going to measure that is an increasing client referral rate. And when will we have achieved our goal? When are we going to have the party and pop the champagne and do high fives and say we've achieved the goal? Well, when our team continues plugging away at consistently exceeding client expectations until they are providing us, our clients are providing us with five new potential client meetings per week. We call them initial client interviews with potential clients. When our clients are supplying us with 5 initial client interviews per week, then we will have accomplished the goal. And that's a consistent thing. So if they do it for 1 week, well, you've achieved the goal that week, but you're not consistently being provided 5 new initial client interviews with potential clients every week. But once that happens, starts to consistently happen, then you've achieved the goal and you're cooking with gas. Your team knows what to do. Okay, so let me unpack this a little bit. We don't want to spend all day on this. So let me just kind of go through the vernacular here. In the toolkit over in our flagship program, when we say the 3 bottom line client outcomes, this is all research driven. We've done a lot of research with clients. These are the things that they value the most. Not to say you can't do other things that clients value, and not to say that you won't be doing other deliverables and everything else. You will, as you probably know, or if you don't know, you'll come across it in the modules that you will receive. We deliver, there are 10 client deliverables that result in these 3 bottom line client outcomes. Okay, so if you're doing what you'll learn in this program, the 10 client deliverables, if you're delivering those effectively, then what you're keeping an eye on is that the clients are receiving the 3 bottom line client outcomes, but in a way that exceeds their expectations. Okay, so what are they? Remaining on track to the goals. So Mr. and Mrs. Client, what's it worth to you to know that you're always on track to your goals? And if ever you get off track, we're going to make sure that we catch it proactively and we provide the recommendations required to get you right back on track. So you'll always be on track. What's that worth to you? The second bottom line client outcome is being proactive on financial issues. So what's it worth for you to know that you're always taking advantage of every financial opportunity that comes down the pike in your situation and that you'll never have any financial surprises? What's it worth to you never to have any financial surprises? So you'll never have a tax return completed where all of a sudden you owe a big tax bill that you weren't expecting. That'll never happen again. So what's it worth to you to know that we're going to be so far out in advance, so proactive, so looking so much into your future with our planning that you're never going to miss an opportunity and you'll never have any financial surprises? What's that worth to you? And then finally, what's it worth to you to make smart, better financial decisions? So with our team in your life as opposed to not being in your life. So what's it worth to you to know that you're making smart choices about your money, not just on the way your money's invested, but in all areas along the way? You're making better choices when it comes to major purchases, on your taxes, on your estate planning, insurance, everything. You're making better financial decisions with us than without us. So those are the 3 bottom line client outcomes. So again, just to go through the team goal the way we recommend it, we will deliver the 3 bottom line client outcomes to every ideal client, no matter which exceeds their expectations. Now, the way we're going to measure the goal is through the most direct measure of success of the team goal, and that which is the annual referral rate. So it's increases in the annual referral rate is the way that we're going to measure this team goal. How are we going to know we're done? Well, success will be measured when we have achieved the team goal, is when we're consistently experiencing 5 initial client interviews per week attributable to spontaneous unsolicited client referrals. This is where advisors have a little flexibility. If to drive your personal goals, you want this to be 3 a week or 2 a week or 6 a week or whatever. And I have many advisors who don't care if they're spontaneous unsolicited client referrals or solicited client referrals. In other words, you ask for a client and they just hand them over. So many advisors feel free to change this to just per week attributable to client referrals, not specifying unsolicited or solicited or whatever. But anyway, that's the team goal. So let me just run through a couple final pieces here. The driver of the team goal is the annual referral rate. I didn't really cover that, how that's calculated. So what is it? Well, as I said, the annual referral rate is the best and most direct measure of client satisfaction. Now, the way it's calculated is this. It's the number of ideal clients referrals. It's the number of referrals received from ideal clients. So it's the number of ideal client referrals over the past 12 months. So it's only referrals received from your ideal clients, not any referrals received from outside the firm, not any received from what we call self-referrals, like you go out and you just meet somebody, not referrals from non-ideal clients, but just focused only on your ideal clients. How many ideal client referrals over the past 12 months divided by your current number of ideal clients? So let's say, as an example, hypothetically, let's say you have 10 ideal clients right now. And let's say those 10 ideal clients have provided you with 13 ideal client referrals over the last 12 months. Then the calculation would look like this. 13 divided by 10 equals 1.300. So the annual referral rate this month would be 1.300. So what you need to know about the annual referral rate is you always calculate it to 3 decimal points as you update it each month. So you update it monthly, and you carry it out to 3 decimal points. That way, even if you're just barely getting any referrals, it's a very sensitive number. By taking it out 3 decimal points, you'll always see some movement if you're getting any referrals. Second, we want you to not just look at this month's number, but start charting it as a graph, like you would a stock, because it's the trend of the line that matters most. So it almost doesn't matter what the number is, but if you're consistently increasing the annual referral rate, that's good. And if it's consistently decreasing, well, that's horrible. So chart it like a graph, because it's the trend that you need to track. And distribute the annual referral rate calculation to every subject matter expert monthly each time you update it. And then finally, this is the accountability piece. Make the annual referral rate a big deal. It's the key component of the team goal. So make the team goal a big deal, mention it a lot, and make the annual referral rate a big deal, and refer to it frequently during internal meetings and in one-on-one interactions. If you have a dry run prep meeting prior to every client progress meeting, open every meeting with the current annual referral rate and make sure that you're distributing this number as it's updated each month. Make it a big deal. Now, when do you introduce it? I have provided in the past this onboarding checklist for every time you, for when you acquire a new subject matter expert. There's all these things that you need to do in the first 30 days, okay? And again, when you look at the replay for this session, I'll make sure that this is available as a download, even though I've provided it before. But you'll notice in this little blue section in the middle, the team goal, these are 4 checklists of when you introduce it. You have to make sure in the first 30 days that a new subject matter expert is aware of and understands the team goal, has then accepted and embraced the team goal. In other words, they don't just know about it, they have accepted it and said, I'm in. And they have begun to contribute to the team goal, and you rate them, scale of 1 to 10, and then you start to gather evidence that this subject matter expert is capable of exceeding an ideal client's expectations. Is there evidence, yes or no? If at first it's no, that's fine, but I'm telling you, within the first 4 months, there needs to be something. So maybe in the first 30 days, there's nothing. But again, you're going to kind of keep track of this checklist. This is the first 30 days. But these team goal things, these checklist items about the team goal, you'll keep cycling through every 4 months every time you sit down with a subject matter expert for the performance review. So I'll provide this to you. Now, when do you introduce this? Okay. If you're going through the deliverables team recruitment process module, that's the 12 steps for recruiting a new subject matter expert. This team goal is introduced at step 10, what we call the deal structure meeting. That's when you've gone through all the candidates. You've now selected just one. You're approaching them to invite them onto your team. That's called the deal structure meeting. That's step 10 of 12. And it's at that meeting you're going to introduce the team goal. And after they you explain the team goal and they accept it and say, I'm in, then you invite them onto the team. You only invite team members onto the team if they're aware of the team goal and they accept and embrace it. Okay? If they are highly skilled, but then they hear the team goal and they go, I don't know about that. Well, if they don't accept the team goal, then they can't be on the team. See what I'm saying? And this all occurs at step 10 of 12 when you get the deliverables team recruitment process module. So all I want to finish up on this is to say, make the team goal the focal point of your leadership. And then finally, what are the three areas of business that every financial advisor must master? Please remind me what you've said about that. I can't find my notes about that. It's real quick. I think what you're referring to is what I've said are the three most important client acquisition skills that every financial advisor has to master. And if you're weak on any of these three, then you're going to have problems in your business. So the three skills are lead generation, and this is, I define lead generation as the ability to consistently find tons of people who actually want to sit down and talk business with you. And without becoming skilled at lead generation, it's unlikely that you'll have enough potential clients to grow your business. So you have to master this skill. And then lead conversion. Lead conversion is the ability, once you've identified a lead to a potential client, lead conversion is the skill and the ability to convert a potential client into an actual paying client. So that's a critical skill every financial advisor must master. And then finally, client service. Well, you're thinking, holy smokes, what is client service of existing ideal clients? What does that have to do with client acquisition? Well, that's what this program's all about. This is the only piece of this that we deal with in this particular in the Advisor Pack Monthly program. Skilled client service is the ability to consistently exceed your ideal client's expectations every time you interact with them. And it's just a simple reality that the more you're able to impress your ideal clients and exceed their expectations, the more referrals that they will provide you and the faster your business will grow. Okay? So we are focused on client service in this program. That's all we deal with. We don't show you how to generate leads. We don't show you how to convert leads, although we have the other dialed in. So if you have questions or you need me to point you in the direction of where can you go develop these other two skills, no problem. Just let me know, contact us and say, I'm glad to be working on client service, but I also need help with whatever, lead generation, lead conversion, whatever you feel like you need help with. So that's it. And that's it for this month's monthly Advisor Pack monthly session. And so we wish you all the best at implementing. And until next month, I'm Mark Little.